Good morning. Thank you for coming today. I'm your program host, Elizabeth. Gabe, Sarah, also our program host. Our program today with Ajahn Jyotipala is, of course, metta as a concentration practice. The Ajahn became interested in Theravada Buddhism after sitting several Goenka retreats. While on staff at IMS in Barre, Massachusetts, he met Ajahn Amaro and Kunadamo. And after leaving IMS, he spent 3 months with Ajahn Kunadamo at the Arrow River Forest Hermitage in Thunder Bay, Ontario. He requested the going forth, taking the Anagarika ordination on July 8, 1998, and ordained as a bhikkhu with Ajahn Pasano as preceptor in 2000. He's presently living at the Pacific Hermitage, a branch of Abhayagiri in the Pacific Northwest. Thank you very much for being
here. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Actually, she asked me to read that, and I missed the last line. I'm still actually now back at Abhayagiri in California.
Okay.
It's good we got a plug in the Pacific Hermitage, Northwest. So welcome, everybody. Mark, when found out that I was coming in the area, it's always kind of funny asking like what for a topic title like 5 months in advance. Sort of, they don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. They'll know, 5 months from now. But at the time when he was talking about this, I had was giving a couple of talks to our community in California. It was just right before our winter retreat period. And the story of how it went was I was just giving a talk to the community. It was like late November, and I was kind of just giving them some advice about trying to bring their mind to a meditation object, say, at that point. So it's like the retreat, we're going to do a 3-month sort of intensive retreat, started in January 1st. And I was like, if we kind of just continue working really hard in the daily life and just getting, actually just preparing for the winter retreat, there's a lot of activity. And oftentimes what will happen is if you're going into the retreat, it's like as soon as you stop the work, it's like you just hit this wall. You know, it's like you've been pushing, getting things done, and your mind is very active. And then all of a sudden you just stop, and it's just like this kind of shock to the system. And so just trying to warn people or to give them some encouragement, I was just thinking, okay, now it's like we have 5 weeks, let's actually start thinking about that, preparing for that, so it's not a shock. And I just sort of spontaneously used the example of loving kindness as a way of sort of like how to prepare the mind, how to enter into the retreat, and sort of like going in advance, sort of like if you're going to take on that as a meditation subject, loving kindness, how to do that, sort of like getting out the suttas and reading them about loving kindness, or just incorporating a little bit of it into your practice and slowly, and just sort of setting other activities aside. And at the time, I really had no intention of really using loving kindness as a meditation of my own, but it was just one that I had been thinking about. But then, say, just using that example, it did my mind started contemplating it or thinking about loving kindness as a meditation practice. And then about a week later, I was asked to give a talk to our group in Berkeley, California. And again, I kind of just gave this very similar talk. And in that talk, when I was mentioning it, I was talking about actually like what loving kindness is. I was just sort of going through just talking about how it's normally taught. Like my actually very first instructions on loving kindness were through a couple in Thailand, a couple named Rosemary and Stephen Wiseman. They do it's kind of a Vipassana retreat, but most of it's actually this loving kindness practice, and it's a little different than what I learned at IMS. But then the main practice that I've learned is through teachers like Sharon Salzberg and Joseph Goldstein through IMS. And so that was like my main practice when I first got into meditation practice. It was about 18 years ago. Let's say for the first 3 years, metta was the first practice that really connected with my heart as something that I really felt like something that I wanted to do. So I threw myself into that practice. and let's see, I'll probably come back to this, but when I was giving this talk in Berkeley, I mentioned, I brought a set of notes here, which I probably won't even use enough, but there's this file we have here, and what it is it's a series of questions that this novice, Wat Pananacha, that's our forest monastery in Thailand for Westerners, and there was this Thai monk who, it's quite interesting, like recently I've been sort of asking a lot of senior monks, monks who live in Thailand, if they know who this monk is, and he, nobody seems to know him anymore, so it's he wasn't actually even very well known when the novice was asking him questions, but he probably got smart and started, as he started practicing metta, started attracting a large group of followers and kind of realized that there's dangers in that, so he probably went off to the jungle and no one could find him anymore. Kind of a side story to that was, if you ever go to Thailand, our main monastery is, it's called Wat Phut Phong, and the abbot there is named Ajahn Liam, and he's just the, say equanimity is what, how you would describe Ajahn Liam. You know, I have a couple photographs of him where he's literally in the middle of the photograph, like I'd say, this is the photograph. He's sitting right front and center, like right in front of the Buddha image, and you don't even see him in the photograph. It's like, if you point out to him, it's like, oh yeah, he's there. But it's like this one photo, it's like my teacher Ajahn Pasno sitting off to the side of the corner, and he's making a sort of, you know, he's making it. Some sort of statement, and so your eyes are immediately drawn to him, and it's just like, isn't that a great picture of Ajahn Liam? And I go, what? Right in the middle of the photo. He has this sort of, that's his personality, and it even shows up in photographs. It's totally quantumless. And somebody asked him about that once, and they said, why is that sort of your practice? And he said, well, I live with Ajahn Chah, and Ajahn Chah is known for his metta. It's interesting. I almost showed a little bit of a clip last night to if you ever just even see him moving, it's just like he just radiates this sort of loving kindness. But if you read much of Ajahn Chah, you get the sense that he's a really stern, kind of grumpy grandfatherly figure almost. But if you actually ever see him or meet anybody who actually knew him, they'll say no. He was like, you just felt this complete loving kindness from him, and so you just watching this little short video of him, he's describing some really deep dharma about letting go and just complete loving kindness coming from him. And so Ajahn Liam said, I was around Ajahn Chah, and he had this sort of sense of loving kindness, and it was just, it was like he was burdened a lot because of that. And so equanimity is fine for me, is what he said. And so he's just really quiet and very, very strong leader and extremely wise. So just the different personalities come out. So this monk, probably the same thing happened with him. So it's interesting that he's, nobody really knows much about him. So these notes that I've been, what happened was when I was in Berkeley, I just sort of mentioned these notes. I was just making a point, and I remembered there was something from these notes that I'd read like 15 years earlier. I'd read these notes. And so as soon as the talk was over, I was with a couple other monks from the monastery, and I was like, do you remember those notes? And, I was like, did I actually get right what I said about those notes? And we started talking about it. So I got back to the monastery and I found the notes. And so this past 3 months, I've been really sort of diving into, the last 5 months, I've been diving into these notes. And there's a lot of sort of information that this monk talks about that is actually quite different from sort of the method that I learned, say at IMS, and basically a lot of stuff that you read from the books. And so it really just kind of practice with that, with the guidance of my teacher Ajahn Pasno. So the notes were quite interesting, because what happened was he was a Western monk, so English was his primary language, and then he was a novice, and he was kind of still very theoretical. He was pretty new to Buddhism, so his questions maybe weren't so well formed, and then he writes these questions to, I think it was either a German or Italian monk who was living in Bangkok. And then he takes the English, which isn't his first language, and then tries to translate it into Thai, which isn't his second language either. And then gets the answer from the Thai monk, and then translates it back into Italian, and then into English, and then I get the finished product of all of that. And so a lot of times there's not even the questions, but just the answers. So you see where this is going. There's some really valuable information. So it was a sort of, I felt like I was more of a detective than a mental practitioner. But we'll see what happens from it. So I guess we could start with, well, I'd just like to see first a show of hands. I know there's like a metta practice group here, and people probably do know a bit about metta practice. Is there anybody here who does not have had ever any instructions on metta practice? Just one. Okay, two. What's that?
Did you say
who is not? Who is not, yeah. Loving kindness. Okay, three. Okay, that's pretty good. So I thought it's kind of weird. It's like, because I'm going to talk about it a slightly different way, but I thought it would be good to start off with a meditation. And I'll give kind of just the guided meditation like I've always been taught. Because we'll start off with just doing ourselves, and that's, it's pretty much kind of the same. And I'll give some guided meditation into kind of the way that I have been practicing with it recently. So do I have a clock? Yeah, I've got a clock here. So we'll maybe just do, it's right now 9:45, maybe do about a half hour meditation.